go to one that is the poster child of the crap heap of week three of a lot of bad games this week. Because, again, the FDH Lounge, we always have this, and you can check this out at the same place where you can find our shows every week, the FDHLounge.blogspot.com, the FDH Lounge Multimedia Magazine, our weekly NFL ratings, which actually are set by me. Number one in my ratings this week, Seattle. Number
As 30, they should be.
Yes. Number 32 in my ratings this week, Jacksonville.
As they should be.
They play one another at Seattle, no less, 4:25 on Sunday. The CBS game here, Bill McAtee and Steve Tasker are the poor souls that will be on the call of this one. Seattle opened at 16.5. It's up to 20. And, again, as I look at this, there is no earthly justification to not say that Seattle is going to win by a minimum of 42. Having said that, I'm going to defer to the historical record on this. And, again, when you look at it, at the very least, and as bad as Jacksonville's run defense has been, their pass defense has been fairly respectable. I can see them doing enough. I talk about bad teams here and what they do. I used this in reference to the Browns last year, something that's come out of my fantasy football league, one of my leagues, where folks make reference to a penis-punching team that just does enough to kind of, like, whatever, to annoy you by holding down the other team enough. That's what I see here with Jacksonville. There's no justification on God's green earth to say that they will lose by less than 42, and yet I will take the 20 in this one with Jacksonville. Even though Pete Carroll is a classless enough individual to want to get 80 points on them if he can, I'm just going to defer to the history on this one. Teams that are getting in the ballpark of three touchdowns almost never cover. I don't see why this would be any different.
Let's put some things in perspective here.
Yes.
Because going into the week, particularly, you know, this line came out in the neighborhood of like 16.5, 17
yeah.
before Seattle beat San Francisco.
Okay.
When they beat them in the manner they did, 29-3, big
right.
winner for yours truly last week, I was like, this line can go to 20, and it wasted little time in doing so.
It's a letdown game, too. It's a good point.
It is. It's a letdown game. That's a great – you took – that was one of the points I was going to make. I don't have to make it anymore. But let's put things in perspective.
Okay.
This is the not good part for Jacksonville. Jacksonville scored 11 points in two games. Seattle's allowed just 10 points in two games. As you mentioned, this is the best versus the worst team in the league. I think everyone – look, I had Seattle number one coming into the year. They're my Super Bowl pick. So.
I think I had them too.
Okay.
I had them beating San Francisco. I didn't have them beating – they did beat San Francisco, I should say. I had San Francisco number one going into last week. So they beat the number one team in my estimation and are now playing the 32 team. As I look at the schedule – they're at Houston next week in a potential Super Bowl preview. This is your classic sandwich game, ladies and gentlemen.
It is. Now, that being said, these teams played in 2009 at mm-hmm. home. Granted, you know, Russell Wilson was still a minor league baseball player at that
yes.
time. The score of that game, though, was 41-0 in favor of Seattle. I don't know if you've looked at Seattle's home record recently.
Uh-huh.
It's good.
Yes. They this just in.
Yeah, this just in. I don't know if you noticed. It's funny what the narrative is now that if Seattle gets home field advantage,
mm-hmm.
I mean, wow. Home field advantage doesn't really, as we've seen in the playoffs in the last couple years in the
right.
modern NFL, doesn't mean what it used to.
Right.
It does in there. I mean, who's going in there and winning?
Right.
I mean, do you have it? I mean, the
unless you have one of your road fans tucked away in the stands with a whistle, that's always the equalizer.
Yes. But that being said, certainly, Jacksonville does not inspire a lot of confidence. But mm-hmm. you talked about the history here. You know, there just aren't a lot of times you see a point spread this high. Since 89, going all the way back there when, you know, I was still in grade school, there have only been 28 times where the line was 17 points or higher.
Mm.
The highest regular season point spread was 23.5.
Okay.
1993, the Niners at home against the Bengals. Obviously, that was the Steve Young 49ers, and that was the Dave Shula Bengals. Oh, boy. And then in 07, the unbeaten Patriots actually were laying that much
right.
against the Eagles. The last time we saw a favorite of 20 or more was, I think it was just 2 years ago. Indianapolis covered against New England.
Okay.
That was the year that Indianapolis did not have Peyton Manning or Andrew Luck. They had Curtis Painter.
Right.
Which was certainly a downgrade at the quarterback position.
Yeah.
Looking at their last 15
Painter,
years.
Painter, I barely know her.
Yeah. It's tough. You cannot play this game, can
no.
you? Because if you play Jacksonville, I wouldn't recommend watching it. It's a hold your nose and just hope Seattle doesn't try. Because here's the problem. How's Jacksonville going to score? Unless if Seattle's, like, falling asleep.
Josh Scobie hitting, like, 455-yard field goals.
I mean, I told a buddy this. You know, I told, you know, I was at a bachelor party last weekend, and somehow fantasy football came up, and a guy's like, should I start Anquan Boldin? And the guy's like, oh, did you see him with? And this other guy from across the room, he'll remain nameless. I've mocked him in the past before, and we'll continue to mock him again. He's like, oh, did you see what he did last week? How can you not start Anquan Boldin? I'm like, dude, he's going to be covered by Richard Sherman.
Yeah.
He did nothing. Like, Richard Sherman, I think, is better than Darrell Revis at this point, right?
He may be.
I mean, and plus, I like some of his theatrics off the field. You know me. So you gotta stay away. By the way, historically speaking, set those 28 favorites of 17 points or more, 7-21 against the number. So 1-8 last nine.
I said to you off air, and we've already stipulated this. You're saying stay away, but somebody puts a gun to your head.
No, you go in my direction.
No, okay.
The if you play this game out of principle,
yeah,
you take Jacksonville.
Yeah, that's – but, you know, but you're saying
but
they should.
But don't watch it, by
right.
God means.
Yeah, don't watch it.
And if you do, Orlando, the city of Orlando will apologize to you for making you watch it, by the way.
As well they should.
Yeah,
yeah.
That was fun. But
yeah,
I think that was good.
They should be forced to deliver that apology door-to-door. No question mm-hmm. about that. Next up here in the AFC East, two teams at 1-1, both somewhat kind of surprisingly at 1-1. The 1-1 Bills at the 1-1 Jets, and a 425 game of MetLife Stadium. Albert and Gannon on the call for this one. Jets laying 2.5. It's up from 1 at the outset on this one. And again, just because, again, my sense that the smart money was going towards the Jets, I guess I'm just kind of leaning in that direction. I don't have much to really kind of point me in either direction. I'm more impressed, I think, as most people are, with the offense that the Bills have right about now, with what E.J. Manuel is doing. Can he do it at this stage of his career and go and win on the road, even against a team that's not very good? And again, you look at the defense that the Jets have had thus far, which I think has been kind of surprising. That's why I kind of lean in their direction. I'm not sure Manuel at this stage of his development, although he's exceeded a lot of expectations thus far, is going to be able to go in and take this one from the Jets on the road. So I'll say Jets to cover the 2.5.
I almost went Buffalo here. I almost made them a third recommended play. I'm going to tell you why. They easily could be 2-0. I mean, they had New England on the ropes. Now,
granted,
Brady fumbled at the goal line the one time.
Right.
Whatever. Maybe you could say New England should have won that game regardless. I'm not going to argue with you. The Jets should probably be 0-2, and a pretty ugly 0-2 at that. They got the gift field goal against Tampa Bay to win. Geno Smith struggled. Like, he looked like basically the Geno Smith a lot of people thought he would look like
right.
last week against New England. He threw a lot of bad interceptions. They were, you know, they to be honest with you, he cost them the game. They lose a game 13-10, but they were -4 in turnovers.
Right.
You know, that's the difference right there. The only thing is, I mean, Buffalo only getting a couple points on the road. This was a team that was a home dog to Carolina last week and was getting 10 points at home in week one. So it's the first road game with E.J. Manuel in this regime. So that's why I'm just going to back away. But God, was I tempted to take Buffalo here.
Okay.
I was, but I chickened out. I like – we talked about this in our AFC – I said this in our AFC East preview show.
Mm-hmm.
At first, I thought they reached for E.J. Manuel. He appears to be their quarterback. I'm not saying he's Jim Kelly, but of the next couple of years.
Yeah.
He should be. I mean, I kind of like what he saw. He led a game-winning drive last week. And when we, you know, I mean, we'll mock Carolina for allowing that to happen when we get to Carolina, but because it shouldn't have even been allowed to happen. But, you know, hats off to Manuel and company for winning the game.
Yeah, that's true. He's certainly exceeded my expectations.
Jets, by the way, Rex Ryan can still coach. You and I agree he's a lame duck this year, but he can still coach defense, and this team has a great defense.
That's going to
keep him in games. The Jets may still lose a lot of games,
mm-hmm.
but they'll lose them close
right.
because they've got a very good defense.
Right. A snoozer game, certainly, between two teams that are mediocre at best, and I don't think I'd put the Jets even at that point. It's kind of funny because you look at the Sunday night game.
They're both your power rankings. I apologize. I didn't look at them before. I've got them both in my bottom five, the Jets and the Bills.
Oh, okay.
I've got them the fourth and fifth worst teams.
I've got the Bills a little bit above that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I have the only teams I have below those two are Oakland, Cleveland, Jackson.
Okay. Yeah. That's all right. I have the Jets down that low. not so much with the Bills. It's funny because you don't expect the Sunday night game to epitomize a bad slate. That's where one of the jewels of the weekend is supposed to be. And yet this is one that, again, NBC would probably be killing for a flex right about now, because the 0-2 Steelers are not only a bad team thus far, they're a boring bad team. They are playing host in the ultimate must-win game at this point of the season against the 2-0 Bears. Michaels, Collinsworth, Tafoya et al. With the call on NBC, 8 o'clock Eastern time Sunday night. Bears laying, well, when you take into account the pregame
the
show.
The studio show, yes.
Cast of thousands.
There will be about, yes, really.
Yeah.
That hate monger, Tony Dungy, will be involved.
A good Christian man, as I like to say.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Yes. when you look at this one, Bears are laying 2.5 on the road. It's been kind of a steady 2.5 all week long. Again, as much as I hate the Squealers on a personal level, I went into this looking for a way, because this is going to so devastate their season, it's such a must-win. I went into this looking, is there any way I can make any kind of a case right now for Pittsburgh in this one? I just can't. Their offense is so exposed with the complete lack of a running game. And I think, again, this wishful thinking sense that Sanders and Brown can make up for not having Mike Wallace, the cheap squealer way of we'll just replace from within, I think that philosophy has hit the wall right there. Roethlisberger doesn't look like the same guy because of all the shots that he's taken. And, again, there's a complete lack of a running game, the bad offensive line. I just look for the Bears to kind of tee off on them defensively all night long. Chicago to cover to 2.5. And, again, that's been my death knell when I've said this in recent weeks, but I'm going to say it again, I think fairly easily.
Well, I like that you said it fairly easily then, because your listeners have so far been patiently over the last hour saying, why do you have this man Kyle Ross on the show if he's going to pass on every game?
Okay.
I do have two recommended plays this week.
All right.
This is one of them, and it is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I was going to – just when I was about to say road favorite Kyle. Okay.
No. I will give you that based on the last 2 weeks, there's not a lot to like about the Pittsburgh Steelers, is there?
There's almost nothing.
They have looked ugly against Tennessee. They scored this, they got the safety on, like, what was the opening kickoff?
Because
the idiot from the Titans stepped out of bounds.
Yeah.
And then they didn't score again until, like, a garbage touchdown with 2 minutes to go. Last week, they have honestly looked as bad in back-to-back games as I have ever seen the Steelers look under Mike Tomlin.
Yeah. Because they haven't had a down year under him. I mean, they
haven't.
Had,
this is the you talk about the hallmark of consistency and time. Mm-hmm. This is the first time he has ever gone into a game, two games under 500.
Wow.
It was, you know, the first time they lost their home opener in like 10 years. But I know this is dangerous to do, but I'm going to look past the last 2 weeks and look at basically the last 5 years.
Okay.
At the start of the season, would the Steelers have been a dog in this game? I think this is an overreaction, this line. The Steelers would not have been a home dog.
I think it's a fairly accurate reaction to what we've seen, though, in 120 minutes of football from them.
I'll give you that. By the way, the system, now that I have it in front of me, week three underdogs that are 0-2 against the spread, have covered a 63.3% rate.
Wow.
To get it. That's 19-11 since 07. Week three favorites that have not covered to this point, just 7-10 against the number. The Bears, it's either a push or a loss that game against the Bengals in week one. There were some places had it 3.5, some places 3. But let's not go out to make the Bears the second coming of the 1985 team yet. They've had to come from behind in both games.
No, they're a solid above 500 team, but yeah,
they're
going
to be in contention. I think it's them and Atlanta fighting for that last wild card in the NFC. Mm-hmm. But they were down 11 at home to Cincinnati in week one, and they were tooth and nail needing the touchdown pass from Jay Cutler with 10 seconds to go to beat Minnesota, who I know neither you nor I have a lot of affinity for.
That's true.
This year. I just think this is a circle-the-wagons performance by the Steelers. Are they going to lose back-to-back primetime games? I mean, I guess they could. There's no rule that says they can't. But I just think there's some value here with the Steelers. I agree that – I mean, this is a team who I'm kind of amending. I'm downgrading them for the season. I said before the year, didn't feel great, but history suggests a win a game or two more than they did last year and make the playoffs.
Okay.
Kind of downgrading them on that. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but I do think they win Sunday night. Pittsburgh Steelers, my first of two recommended plays this week.
Let me just draw you out a little bit on this. The Steelers in their first two games, time of possession average, 25-12. I think we would both agree they can't beat Chicago without even approaching 30 minutes.
Well, the problem is they can't run the ball. The offensive line is...
What's your scenario for hanging on to the ball long enough to keep their defense from being completely gassed? What's your scenario? I'm just curious.
Cheating. Jay Cutler turning the ball over.
Well, the whole team does take HDH, so
well,
that you got
come
that.
Come on, that's uncalled for and unfounded. but I just think, honestly, like I said, there's nothing that's happened in the last two games.
Okay.
That I can use to support Pittsburgh here.
All right, well,
I'm just going with the fact.
So you're figuring like turnovers or whatever.
I'm just figuring that the Pittsburgh Steelers are a proud franchise.
Okay.
Not that any other teams aren't, but. That
old chestnut proud franchise.
Look, I'm grasping here, man. I just think they're going to win, okay?
All right.
I gave you a lot of technical trends in the last game that passed on all of them. I'm going to take a team here and just say believe me, okay?
I'm not trying to
Here's one.
Yeah.
Off back-to-back against the spread losses under Tomlin, the Steelers are 17-4 straight up.
Okay.
There you go.
All right.
Off a division loss, 9-2 against the spread.
Okay.
I'm just hanging on to history. Ben Roethlisberger maybe pulls something out of that, you know, out of that bathroom stall.
I'll just put you down for magic beans then. Handful of magic beans.
Handful of magic beans. Something wacky will happen. I don't know.
Well, we'll see.
Maybe Mark Trestman will get confused and think the field's 110 yards or something. I don't know.
That wouldn't be that out of the ordinary for him, so I've been told. Monday night, a game that's not a whole lot better than this one and probably is a whole lot worse. The 1-1 Oakland Raiders at the 2-0 Denver Broncos. Tirico, Gruden, Salters on the call for this one. Denver laying 16 in this one, up from 14.5. Again, early line move in this one. At the end of the day, again, due for a letdown, but it's a historic rivalry, even though Denver has dominated Oakland. It's kind of like, again, the Steelers and the Browns. Just when the Steelers are due for a letdown, oh, but it's the Browns, we're not going to let down. You'll look at that, and not necessarily a trap game because Denver's got Philadelphia next up, which is not necessarily going to
be a fun game.
Should be a fun game, but it doesn't make the Raiders a trap game because Philly, I don't think, is big enough to fill the role of team coming after the crappy team here. Again, the Broncos have surprised me 2 weeks in a row. I thought that both Baltimore and the Giants could cover. Maybe I'm jumping on the bandwagon just as it's leaving the station here. But, again, at this point, I'm not going to pick against them. It won't be by much, but I think they can cover the 16 against Oakland Monday night.
Oakland seems a little better than advertised.
Sure.
You remember, it was kind of funny that everyone's like,
I read nothing into them beating Jacksonville like they did last week.
I mean, it was a 19-0. Janikowski had 4 field goals. It was good for my fantasy team. But,
You
know, and they hung tough with Indy, who, you know, doesn't blow anyone out.
Right.
So it's funny, though, that every year there's always, oh, this is the worst team, this team stinks. And that team, while never being great, always kind of just overperforms expectations. Well, remember, you know, even I kind of admitted it when I said 5-11 for the Raiders.
Right.
We were both like, ooh, that seems pretty optimistic.
Yeah. I think you were right on the money, though.
Yeah. I don't get involved in games with double-digit spreads, generally. Not a recommended play here, but let me get a little exotic for you and the listeners.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe play. It's a Monday night game. You got to work in the morning Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Why not play the first half with Denver? Maybe they build up a big lead and just kind of coast from there.
Okay.
How about that? Let's see how that goes next week. We'll talk again next week. No. What do you say we do the show again next week? What do you say we do the show again? I think Denver, you know, you get the line in half. You know, the spread's what, 15.5?
Well, now it's 16.
All right, so you're going to have to be asked to lay about 8 in
the
first half. I think they can go to halftime with a 10-point lead, don't you?
I think that's the minimum that they're going to be up, quite frankly. So,
here's the thing. Oakland has scored 36 points in 2 weeks.
Right.
Okay? Denver scored more than that in both games.
Right.
They've scored 90.
Right.
Hello.
It's going to be, Monday night, they never get a flex slate, but they must be
somebody.
Hoping to flex.
Have you ever read
this
about like how there's an NFL executive who has like a nasty history? We maybe even talked about this before. Mm-hmm. It was like a nasty history with ESPN. He used to work in the remember when it was ESPN on ABC, like
yes.
It was like separate divisions.
Yes.
Well, ESPN has kind of come in, I guess, and like just made it all one and the same.
Right.
And I guess there was like some guy who was canned in there who like now works for the NFL. And, like, gleefully is, like, somehow in charge of giving them the matchups and, like, loves giving them bad Monday night matchups. That's a rumor I heard.
I think that's awesome.
That.
Yeah, that's awesome if that's the case.
Well, next week could be a battle of 3-0 teams.
God bless you, faceless grudge man. Striking out against the worldwide monopoly. That's outstanding. All right, time for my three big picks of the week here. They've got to do better than the last 3 weeks. We start with this
do
one.
Do they?
Yeah.
Is this a must-win
for
you?
0-6. Time to jump on me. Okay. This is when you want to jump on with both feet because it's just about ready to leave the station here.
By the way.
Yeah.
Let's just, you know, let's get the people salivating a little bit
yes.
listening at home. I said I had two recommended plays. I'm only giving away one.
Okay.
When you and I agreed last year, I believe we were like almost 100%.
Yeah, we were pretty strong.
Or will they go against you in one of your three recommended picks? Listen on.
Yeah, listen on. Could be very interesting here. This is one where, and again, for the record, I mean, 0-6 start, but again, all joking aside, I've been putting my picks on the record the last several years here. Never had a year below 500 and been profitable, so above 52.4%. Just about every year. So, again.
The next 14 weeks.
Yes, the odds
are. As long as you lay off those road favorites, I think you're going to be okay.
I have no road favorites among my three this
Ladies
week.
Ladies and gentlemen, listen to what Rick Morris is about to say.
Is this the road to recovery in your eyes?
Yes.
All right, well, we'll see. This is one where, again, Nance and Sims are on the call. This is a big one when you're talking about young quarterbacks in the NFL, marquee guys. The 1-1 Colts at the 1-1 Niners. Niners opened as a 9.5-point favorite. Went up to 10.5 at one point.
Up to 11.
Still,
in yeah. 11.5 at
11
some
and
points.
A half. Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. In
so,
some books, yeah.
Back to 10. This is one of the ones. I have a handful of picks every year, and I struggled to get a third pick for this week. I made this one my pick. This is one that I was just going to make one of my regular plays, but I'm elevating it to big three because I had such a hard time finding anything. And one of my popular methodology things the last couple of years has been the Why Ask Why special. If I find a line that looks so jacked up, I just assume it's because the smart money knows what they're doing. I go the other way from my instinct on this one. This line feels so inflated to me. I just think in looking at the performances of both teams thus far, I have a hard time seeing San Francisco weighing more than 6. I just really do. And that's with all the respect that I have for San Francisco and knowing that it's a home game, Colts with the time zones, etc. I still think this line's off by at least 4 points. Hence, that's why I'm taking San Francisco to cover. As the old beer commercial goes, why ask why? Anytime you find a line that you think is jacked up, go the other way from your instinct. That's what I'm doing. Niners laying the 10. I know this is one of your plays in this game.
It is.
Yes.
In full candor, as you know, my big play, I don't really designate one as a big play, but I did say last week my favorite play was Seattle over San Francisco.
Okay.
You know, anytime you get folks, it's not going to happen probably ever again. I mean, maybe when Russell Wilson's old and gray.
Mm-hmm.
But Seattle's not going to be laying less than 3 at home less at home many times.
It
did last week, and that was a big cover for me. Went against San Francisco. About halfway through the third quarter, and truth be told, I assumed Seattle was going to win that game, and I already had my eyes on this game before that game even kicked off.
Mm-hmm.
About halfway through the third quarter where it started unraveling for the 49ers, I decided that my top pick of the week would be the 49ers this week against the Colts.
Okay.
Love this play. So we do agree
All
on
right.
recommended plays.
Very
this
good.
This is my second of two recommended plays, the 49ers.
Okay.
And you kind of off air, not kind of, but
yeah.
did flat out ask me, you're like, I can't believe this line. Why is it so high? I guessed it would open at 9.5. I was not surprised.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you why. There is a stat that I teased. I didn't give it to you off air, but I kind of alluded to what it would be. And it's Jim Harbaugh off a loss.
Okay.
The Niners are 7-0 in his tenure off a loss. They have never lost back-to-back games. 5-2 against the number, but the average win has come by almost 17 points per game.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that's one thing. Two, you know, I'm a guy who, East Coast, you know, if you're road favorite Ricky, I'm East Coast skill position Kyle. You always talk about the glamour part of the game. You want to get down in the trenches here? I'll roll my sleeves up and get dirty on a rare occasion here.
Okay.
This is a disastrous matchup for Indianapolis. Before this whole Trent Richard, we haven't even mentioned this, but I know we're going to get to that in a little bit. The whole Trent Richardson thing. I think he's a non-factor this week, by the way.
Right.
I mean, just came into town.
Can't just airlift him
You know,
yeah.
great run defense he's going against. I don't care what the numbers have been so far for San Francisco.
Right.
They're still a premier run defense. But the Colts' biggest issue in the last year plus has been protecting Andrew Luck. They gave up 41 sacks last year.
Right.
And the 49ers, this just didn't get to the quarterback very well. They still got to Russell Wilson a lot last week.
Right.
I think the two Smiths, Alden and Justin, have a field day here. I think Andrew Luck plays his worst game as a pro Sunday.
Wow.
I'm calling for. I think the Niners, and I'll be honest with you, I texted you last night and said when the Richardson trade went down, I'm like, damn it, this ruined my top pick this week. I'm not going to let that ruin anything for me. I think the Niners tap to the Colts this week at home. I don't think this one's close. I think they win by about three touchdowns.
All right.
I think they're going to cover this one with room to spare.
We agree on the outcome. At least concede to me, though, as far as my confusion on this. It's rare, is it not? You have a 10-point spread.
The Colts have overachieved, though. You know that.
They're a pretty good team, okay? They're not worse or at least markedly worse than an 8-8 team.
Well, here's the thing. When the line, you have to remember that the line is not necessarily, it usually is. It's not necessarily a reflection of, you know, how much better one team is than
right.
the other team.
Right.
It's an attempt to draw even money on both sides.
But here's the thing.
Hold on. The
Indianapolis, like, people think they're better than they are. You're undermining your own point. The perception of Indy is better than the actual team, Kyle. You're undermining your point.
No, I'll tell you why.
Okay.
I'll say what odds makers know, the folks like myself know, that with us, we would want to play San Francisco in this game. Truth be told, I knew the line was going to be high, and I, you know, even though with this Richardson deal and the line going above 10, I still want to play it.
Okay.
They had to make the line maybe a little bit to what the more casual observer would think is pretty high to attract some Indianapolis money, because I think the Sharps are going to be all over San Francisco here. I could be wrong.
Wouldn't the public, though, with their money, be a lot on Indianapolis? That's what kind of...
Yeah, that's why I think there's that...
How have they not... But how has the public not bet this down to, like, 8 or 8.5?
Well, keep in mind, they may have, but the big money could be...
Okay.
You know, again, it could be... I mean, remember, it takes a lot of $50 bets to even out one guy, you know, laying a couple GER.
Remember. Yeah, exactly.
So that's what I think this is. And I like that it's kind of come down from its high point. I'm telling you, folks, you're going to want to get on this.
Okay.
I think it's going to go lower, too.
Okay.
Especially if Richardson plays.
All right.
He's not going to be able to protect Andrew Luck.
No.
The 49ers, look, they've played two bad games in the last year. Both of them were in Seattle.
Right.
I mean, can you imagine if, like, I guess we'll find out what happens when Jacksonville goes there this week. But can you imagine if, like, the Browns went to play that game in Seattle last week? Seattle could literally name their score.
Yeah, they'd still be scoring on the Browns.
Yeah, I mean, it was just San Francisco, in my power rankings this week, they dropped one spot because they lost. They dropped from 2 to 3.
Right.
Denver moved up to 2.
Okay.
So, that's all. I mean, they lost on the road. At the best home team in the league. I put no stock in that loss. The 49ers are still an 11 or 12 win team.
Okay.
And with the Richardson deal, it's very interesting because the Colts were a team that you and I both said regress. Every metric suggests they regress this year, that they would miss the playoffs. It's going to be interesting to see how the Richardson thing stunts that.
But that's kind of my point, though, is that Indianapolis, like, they're a smart mark pick to regress, but the general public, like, OMG, Andrew Luck in his second year. The general public thinks they're better than they are.
Yes. They
were 11-5. What are you talking about, Kyle?
Yeah, the analytics people are definitely more down on the Colts than the general public.
That was
There's
kind of
no
my
doubt
point.
About it.
I was just surprised because would you not concede at the
very
least?
No, if this line was lower,
generally
if this
team
line was
getting...
lower, all the big money would just pull.
Right.
Like, they would get – if this line was like you said, what did you say, like 6,
right.
6.5?
Yeah.
The big money would, like, they couldn't get enough $50 bettors to offset what would happen.
It just, and that's the point of equilibrium is just what surprised me because, again, generally speaking, and there's exceptions to every rule, and this just looks to me to be the exception to the rule. Generally speaking, if you're getting double digit points, you suck. That seems to be a kind of general rule of thumb in the league. I just,
that's the percent. Or or if you're laying them, you're really good.
And San Francisco is, but. Especially coming off the game there, and I understand people are expecting him to pretty much puke blood all over Indianapolis, and that's fine. I understand that, but that's
it'll be interesting. Maybe I'm completely wrong, but this was a game halfway through last week. I had certain.
Yeah,
so I'm sticking with.
I'm agreeing with
or no
you on
trade.
The pick, and historically, this is now our third year doing the show together. It's meant pretty good business if you and I are coalescing on something.
Doesn't
here.
Happen often.
Doesn't happen
like
often
five
at all.
Times a year.
Yeah, if that. It's pretty rare. It's funny. We talked about this before. Somebody is going to be the best 0-3 team in the league. It could be the Giants. It certainly wouldn't be the Panthers if they lost. Two teams without a win between them are meeting at Bank of America Stadium Sunday, 1 o'clock in Charlotte. Tom Brenneman, Brian Billick, and the lovely Tandalora Oakman on the call for this one. The game is a pick 'em. Carolina started by laying the 3 points.
It's a good number.
Yeah. It looked, my sense was that the Sharps were betting the Giants strong, and it seemed to me to be smart money. You've kind of trained me on like how to look for that on this one here. Again, I just have a hard time picturing the Giants being 0-3, and particularly being 0-3 at the expense of the Panthers. If they can keep from, again, what they've been doing has largely been a lot of their own stupidity with the turnovers, things that are correctable. They've shown they can move the ball up and down the field. They can get things done here. A smooth game from the Giants, which they haven't put up yet, but this might not be close. I mean, if the Giants play to capabilities, they can go in there and win this one solidly. I think it'll be narrow, but in a way that just makes my point all the more so because Carolina's brutal in narrow games. In a pick 'em,
yes,
I like the Giants on the road.
Yes, and I mean, what is that record? I've heard it all week, and now I don't have it in front of me. About, here we go.
Same here, yeah.
Here's a stat. Here's just what
2-14 in games decided by a touchdown or less.
That's with Rivera and Newton at the helm.
Yes.
They have lost 10 games in which they've held a fourth quarter lead.
Wow.
Unlike the Tampa Bay situation where I think the blame is more evenly distributed between Schiano and Freeman, I think the majority here goes on Rivera. I think he is probably the worst head coach in the league. Do you agree? Who's worse?
I mean,
maybe there's some of these unproven guys. Like, I mean, Rob Chudzinski, your boy, doesn't have a very large track record.
A lot of the chaff was kind of swept out at the end of last season, so that's what's funny. I mean, coaches in new situations.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You're right. Yeah. I mean, all the worst coaches get fired, and he was the guy who a lot of people thought would get fired. They won at the end, and they saved his job,
I'm not going to put it all on this coach because the personnel he's had to work with has not been great, but dare I say Dennis Allen says hi?
Yeah, but again, he doesn't have Cam Newton.
Okay.
Salad, so
All right.
Here's the thing with Revere. Bill Barnwell wrote about this, and I thought it was excellent because there have been so many times when this happens. If you don't watch a lot of Carolina Panthers football, and let's be honest, not a lot of people do.
Right.
If you live
why would you?
Yes. Well, I do. But I can't tell you how many times, instead of going for it on fourth and one, in situations where you probably should, with a 6'5" quarterback who's a tank,
right,
he punts. Or he is just a very by-the-book conservative coach, Rivera.
Yes.
Last week, this is interesting to think about. And granted, it's easy to make these arguments with the benefit of hindsight. But last week, the Panthers led by 3. They were driving late in the game against Buffalo. It's 4th and 1, and there's two decisions. One is to go for it, obviously.
Right.
Two is to kick the field goal, which is what Rivera did, and they made it. That field goal only put them up 6 points, and then Buffalo, as you know, came down and scored the game-winning touchdown.
Right.
Shouldn't he have just gone for it on 4th and 1?
Yeah, should have.
And at least the game. He didn't. And it's funny, Newton, listen to this, I think it is the stat is he's 14 for 16 in his career on rush attempt on 4th and 1s.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what? Really good? I don't have my calculator in front of me, but that's really 80 good.
80+%.
Yeah.
I think it's like 87.5.
It's funny because the one everyone remembers is the one against Atlanta last year. Do you remember
this? Yes.
Mid-season, he made it, but then the ball got knocked loose. It went back. Carolina recovered.
Right.
And they didn't get the first down, but they kept possession. And then Revere, that was on a third down.
Yeah.
And then Revere punted the ball. Matt Ryan came down and led him to a game-winning field goal.
Yeah. The other thing here, too, when we're looking at the turnovers, as much as I like half-jokingly said about myself before, I'm 0-6 on my big three plays, jump on me now. The concept of progression to the mean, regression to the mean, we talk about it more so in other sports because the NFL with a 16-game schedule, the sample size is much, much smaller. But it still holds, and here's what I want to tell you about that in looking at this here, that the Giants are on pace to have 80 turnovers this year, which would shatter the NFL record. So if you look at it in terms of
80 turnovers is not good.
But here's my
That's
point.
It's 5 a
though.
Game.
Here's my point.
Right? Yes.
It's an unsustainable
exactly.
pace.
Yes.
And that it's time for them to reel in the turnovers, if for no other reason than the law of averages. You take away turnovers from the Giants right now and the Panthers, it's not necessarily that close of a consideration on who you would take, even with the Giants on the road.
Here's the thing, though.
What?
And you know what a believer I am in that kind of regression
yes.
analysis. games decided by 7 points or less are also supposed to even out. And for Carolina, they haven't. Now, the Giants, it's just in, are not going to turn the ball over 80 times this year. If they do, good grief.
And I think the progression of the mean for them starts here.
Okay, but I mean, Carolina, don't they have to win a couple close games? I have to stay away from this game. The Giants are a team that we both picked to win the NFC East. They still can do it because that division looks kind of weak. Carolina's in trouble, especially if they lose this game. They're off next week. You don't think that? We've seen some teams with some itchy trigger fingers so far this season. If they lose this,
Richardson down there,
he's a cheap feller.
He's an ornery little peckerwood. Yeah, I could just see that. Yeah,
He has a bad. Maybe if he wakes up on the wrong side Monday morning.
Yeah.
If they're 0-3, do they fire Ron Rivera?
It's less likely, but it can't be ruled out. I'd say it cannot be ruled out.
They've got road games against Arizona and Minnesota after the bye week.
Yeah.
And I know those teams aren't very good, and I like Carolina as a team better than those two, but on the road,
right?
Those are more even games. This Carolina – you know what? If Carolina finishes really bad, gets a good draft pick, and fires their coach, I can see them being really good next year.
They could be. A quick turnaround.
We always talk about those teams. There's that rule of eight.
Right.
Generally, where there's they're on average,
right.
There's eight teams per year
right.
who see their win total fluctuate by four games. Carolina is a team that I can see underperforming this year and then inflating their win total by four next
year.
It's
so funny you say that, because as we segue to the last game, a team that we can safely bet will not be such a team, because they never are. My Cleveland Browns, 0-2 presently, going to the 0-2 Vikings here. Again, a Vikings team that's not great, that has regressed as you and I have expected. But, again, if you're comparing 0-2 teams, there really is no point of comparison between the two of them.
Often is Christian Ponder the best quarterback in a game?
Yeah. And you could do that looking probably at a couple of different positions here. The Vikings opening as 3.5-point favorites. The Sharps jumped on that with both feet.
No, that was not. Believe it or not.
It was somewhat early. They started it, though, didn't they?
It did go from three. This is critical with this line movement, because
I
talked to somebody yesterday about this. They messaged me. They did jump on it to a point.
That's what I meant,
It went from 3.5 to 4.5 pretty quickly.
That's what I was looking at.
Everything after 4.5 is public money, because the Browns have here on out, this line I expect to fly.
And it's up to 7.
Yeah.
7 and counting, really, at this moment.
Exactly. Because the third-string quarterback and now the trade of Richardson, that's – If the odds makers, let's get this right here, truly view these moves that the Browns have made, and we'll get into them here in a minute, as horribly as the Browns fans do, they would have taken the game off the board and reposted with a different line. They didn't do that.
Okay.
Just so you know, a buddy of mine yesterday, he messaged me. He's like, hey, this Hoyer thing, what did it do to the line? I'm like, honestly, it was nothing really.
Right.
Because, not to be mean-spirited, but this terrible Cleveland Browns team with Brian Hoyer, a quarterback, isn't a ton worse than with Brandon Weeden.
Right.
I know Browns fans can't understand that, but it's just the reality of the situation.
It's hard to go down from there, and having watched these games, of course. And it's, I'll grant you, it's a dangerous thing
to look
at something and to say it seems so obvious. But for the Browns, as battered and now dispirited as they are, since the flag has been thrown in after 2 weeks on this season, and the organization has outright announced that they intend to jockey for the number one overall pick to get Teddy Bridgewater next year, they're not playing even remotely for this season anymore. I say lay the 7. For my 1,000-star gold-plated lock of the millennium for NFL Week 3, this is my get-well play right here. No question about it. The Minnesota Vikings to trounce the Browns on Sunday. I truly don't think it'll be close. With Ogbonnaya now as your number one running back, Hoyer as your quarterback.
Oof.
You get back Josh Gordon, who has number one wide receiver stuff, but still, what's that going to be? And Jordan Cameron, who is getting to be a very, very legitimate tight end prospect in this league, and a front seven that can make some plays. But the Browns' only scenario in this game almost is to get a couple of pick sixes. And Chris Ponder's a guy that can furnish them to you.
Yeah, I'd say the Bears had – I know they had won last week.
Yeah.
There was a lot of – in the Bears-Minnesota game last week, there was 3 non-offensive touchdowns scored. I think 2 were by the Vikings.
And that's the Browns' only pathway – I'm going to say to keeping it close, not even to winning it. To me, winning this game is so remote for them. It almost – Yeah, I'm not going to quite say to a Jacksonville and Seattle level, because Minnesota's not nearly that good, but come on, this is their chance to get well here.
I'm staying away completely because
okay,
everyone's going to be against the Browns here, and I'm not saying they should be. I mean, the Browns have pretty shamelessly tanked it this
yep.
year, and whether you agree with that strategy or you don't, it's just the reality of the matter that this is a team that wasn't very good to begin with, and they somehow found a way to get actually worse
yeah.
in the last 48 hours.
There's a gleam, man.
Yeah. Minnesota, yeah, they're 0-2. Even before these decisions to go with Hoyer instead of people, I don't think that don't live in Cleveland don't understand this because it's not really talked about, that the Browns skipped over Jason Campbell, who has plenty of starting experience.
Right.
I mean, Oakland was pretty good when he got hurt a couple years ago.
Right.
And they've done nothing since. And, I think he was the quarterback on a Washington team that made the playoffs. Remember the year with Joe Gibbs when,
right.
In spite of Joe Gibbs, who I don't think still knows the rules. But, so it was interesting to go with Hoyer, as I lost my train of thought there in case you couldn't tell. It's a tank move. And then, the dealing away Richardson, look, there's no reason to get excited about the Browns here. But I don't like the Vikings. And
yep.
I don't want to lay points with the Vikings.
Yep.
I know they are they've lost two division road games. Last week they easily could have beaten the Bears. They were in position to.
Right.
But, they've got the London game on deck. I don't know. I just wouldn't feel comfortable. This is a stay-away game for me
okay.
all the way.
Okay. I can understand that. As far as it goes with these teams, again, with Hoyer, the only thing I'll say even
remotely.
This is going
to be a very low-scoring game.
It will be.
It would have been anyway. I mean, this is going to be really ugly.
The only thing I'll say even remotely in their defense on that one is that Campbell's ceiling is established. I think we know what Hoyer's is, but Hoyer's ceiling isn't 100% established.
I agree. Like,
it's
that's
a move
the thing.
For the future.
That's the thing. Like, people, I can – look, we're going to talk about this in – if you don't care about the Cleveland Browns, folks, then maybe the next mini episode isn't for you.
It's a case study of a bad team, though.
Yes, here's the thing. You're right. When you talk about ceilings, I think that's so key because, the Richardson thing I can understand being a little upset about because
mm-hmm.
It's such a flagrant
yeah.
move to say we don't care.
I would say
but then again,
to the fans.
Well, yeah, but you know what? Maybe it's a wake-up call to the fans. Maybe it's saying pay attention to the Cleveland Indians who are in a playoff race. Okay. But the Hoyer thing, I lost no sleep over that. I don't think Browns fans should have. Because Brandon Whedon, can we just be honest, is terrible.
Yeah.
Brandon Whedon stinks.
He's dog poop.
Okay, my dad, I cannot believe the venomous texts. I mean, they're a little uncreative, too, by the third
yeah.
quarter. He just finds 16 different ways to call Brandon Whedon stupid.
Yeah.
And, I don't know Brandon Whedon, personally, so maybe he's a very intelligent guy. I don't know. But... He did not seem like a very good NFL quarterback. It's the perfect example that Browns fans are like, oh, should we keep him? Should we do this? Should we do this? I guarantee you, Brandon Whedon, when they let him go, and they're
mm-hmm.
going to let him go
mm-hmm.
by the end of the year, will not start for another team.
No, he won't. Now, Brandon Whedon wouldn't.
And he's already old.
He is. Yeah, he's going to turn 30. Brandon Whedon would not get upset by your father's texts. He would only get upset if your father said that Oklahoma State was corrupt. That's apparently the only thing he cares about. Don't you say anything about my alma mater.
Yes, but he didn't accept money. He was clear to accept it.
Yeah.
By the way, that's a different rant for a different day.
Mm-hmm.
What did Oklahoma State do wrong? Unless if they, enslaved these hostesses programs, which would be a problem. I mean, so, yeah, wow. So a bunch of college kids are doing drugs and getting it on. Wow.
Oh.
I mean, that's a shock.
I'm not thrilled about Boone Pickens and his whole wind energy boondoggle, the next Solyndra here, but that's another story for another day.
Be progressive for a minute, won't you?
I just had to troll you a little bit on
that. Oklahoma State, I decided. I wrote it up in. Sounds like a fun time in Stillwater about 2005, huh?
It does indeed.
If you're a football recruit.
It does indeed.
I could build a time machine and have a rocket arm.
Shades of the late 80s at Oklahoma in state.
Well, they didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah. The stories that were in the books that came out there. But so your recommended plays for this week, San Fran laying 10 at Indianapolis and Pittspuke getting 2.5 from the Bears.
Pittsburgh.
Sunday night. My big three plays, I'm also going with San Fran in a rare convergence between us. I'm taking the Giants in a pick'em on the road at Carolina, and Minnesota laying 7 against the Brownies on Sunday. So it's been great to be able to get to draw things out a little bit here this week. Kyle,
yeah, like I said, the choice is always easy. The choice is always easy.
Exactly, exactly. So thank you all for tuning in, everybody. FDH Lounge, mini episode number 310.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.